Well, in case number 86783, Sullivan v. Baker Ranches. Council, is everybody ready to proceed? Please. Would you like to reserve any time?
Yes, please, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
All right, excellent.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is James Bolotin, Senior Deputy Attorney General, representing the Nevada State Engineer. At issue in this case is the Nevada State Engineer's decision to hold in abeyance a discretionary alleged violation proceeding, AV-272, pending resolution of related litigation in federal court. Specifically, Respondent Baker Ranches filed a notice of alleged violation alleging that the National Park Service, or NPS, was violating permit terms, the Baker-Lehman Decree, and water law to the detriment of Baker Ranches' decreed rights. Prior to filing the AV, Baker had sued the NPS, alleging very similar things in federal court and requesting similar relief. That case is still being maintained to this day, with trial being set for early next year in federal court. Due to this related litigation in federal court, the state engineer sent a one-sentence letter to both Baker Ranches and the National Park Service indicating that AV-272 would be held in abeyance pending the resolution of the related litigation in federal court. It was this letter and this letter alone that is the basis of Baker Ranches' petition for judicial review, which the district court granted. Respectfully, this court should reverse the district court's decision. First, this was a non-final decision and was therefore not subject to judicial review pursuant to this court's decision in Howell v. Ritchie. Second, even if it was considered final or there is no finality requirement as held by the district court, the AV process is inherently discretionary under the law, and the state engineer appropriately exercised his discretion based on substantial evidence to hold AV-272 in abeyance pending the resolution of the federal litigation. And therefore, his decision here was not arbitrary or capricious. First and foremost, by this letter's very terms, it was not a final decision, but rather a decision to hold off on making a final determination until Respondent Baker Ranches resolved its ongoing litigation with the federal government and federal court. That was all this letter said. The AV is held in abeyance pending the related litigation.
When you've got ongoing harm, why isn't that a final determination?
Respectfully, Justice Perigary, the state engineer has not found the level of harm that is alleged by Baker Ranches at any point in this AV process. The state engineer has sent his staff out there. They've done multiple site visits. It hasn't risen to the level that Baker Ranches has alleged, and the record is full of correspondence from the National Park Service disputing those allegations of harm.
So there's no blockages on the channel that need to be remediated in order for them to get their allocation?
There was a question on the second site visit of certain water leaving the stream, but it was never determined whether that was attributed to the National Park Service. The state engineer has never made a finding that that is a violation of the decree or that the National Park is causing the violation that is causing harm to Baker Ranches.
Counsel, would it be your position that the determination to hold in abeyance is reviewable or not? You can just send a one-line letter and you say it's not a final judgment, we're going to hold it in abeyance. How can somebody get that reviewed, or can they, in your estimation?
It's the state engineer's position, Justice Stiglitz, that it would be reviewable once he reaches a final determination. The state engineer is receptive to the concerns of Baker Ranches, but it's not the state engineer's fault that the federal litigation has taken this long to reach it.
But the determination by the state engineer to hold in abeyance is not reviewable. Is that your position?
That's our position, Your Honor, that it's a non-final decision. It's a decision to reach a final decision once that other litigation is resolved. I'll get to this later, Your Honor, but it's similar to the statutory authority that the legislature has provided in other contexts, specifically regarding actions on applications, where he can hold off on ruling on an application when there is a pending litigation that might affect the status of that application. The AV process is even more discretionary. It doesn't say shall, it says may, and the state engineer, I'll get to it later, but I believe he had his discretion to act and stay it, but at this point it was a non-final decision. And that's all that letter said. The AV
What do we do with the current decision by the U.S., the August 2024 decision in the federal court case that the government has not waived its sovereign immunity? You filed a motion to stay in the parallel case that's tied to that litigation. But you didn't file a motion to stay in this case, pending resolution of the appeal to the Ninth Circuit from that order. Could you comment on whether, on why you did not in this case seek the same stay?
Respectfully, Justice Pickering, the state engineer is not a party to that other case. The federal government has filed a motion to stay or an alternative dismiss. Okay. That's a concern that the state engineer has, is that in the entirety of the decree proceedings in state court, the state court did not bring the state engineer into that case, but rather in the district court's conclusion here, instructed the state engineer to finish his investigation while pointing the state engineer to the decree court case where the district court already found that the federal government was violating the terms of the decree. But I do think it raises an important issue that's even more complex than waiting for the other federal litigation that the state engineer cited in his letter, is that now we have a U.S. district court case that says the federal government isn't subject to that decree and has sovereign immunity. And many of Baker Ranch's claims in this case are that the state engineer needs to enforce the Baker-Layman decree against the federal government. So it puts the state engineer in a really tough position of, is he supposed to violate a federal court order? Is he supposed to jump in front of the feds in the other litigation? It's a tough position to be in, and it's an extremely unique.
My question was inartful, but that is the problem that I'm having. We have a federal court decision that the government has not waived its sovereign immunity and is not subject to Baker-Layman decree, yet this implicit in this case is asking the state engineer to enforce the Baker-Layman decree against National Park Service.
And I agree with you, Justice Pickering. It's a extremely difficult place for the state engineer to be in, and it's the original decree court case was filed in state court, removed to federal court, sent back to state court, appealed to the Ninth Circuit. It's about as complex of a procedural posture as you could imagine. And it's another basis. Had the state engineer been aware of the decree court case at the time he held the AV in abeyance, I believe it would have been another basis to hold the AV in abeyance and wait for those other proceedings to be resolved. But again, back to my first point, in Howell v. Ritchie, this court held that a decision is appealable under NRS 533-450 where it affects a person's interest that relates to the administration of determined rights and is a final written determination on the issue. This holding has subsequently been repeated by this court in the Benson case and the ruling 5823 case. And it's not just in the water context either. Under NRS 533-450, judicial review of the state engineer's decisions are to be in the nature of an appeal. And finality is required before any appeal may be taken. And this is a requirement that this court has stated in the Reno Hilton Resort Corp case is not merely technical, but a crucial part of an efficient justice system. The district court found that there is no finality requirement, and Baker Ranches advances that same argument here. If upheld, this will open the floodgates of litigation against an agency that already sees a lot of litigation by permitting interlocutory appeals in the middle of state engineer administrative proceedings. The court should reject this. The state engineer didn't read a finality requirement into NRS 533-450. This court did in the Howell case. And the letter at issue here is, by its plain terms, not final. Notwithstanding the state engineer's decision was non-final, it was nonetheless reasonable within his discretion and supported by substantial evidence, and therefore the district court's decision should be reversed even if this court determines that either there is no finality requirement or that the state engineer's letter in this case was final. Most importantly, the alleged violation process, which is under NAC Chapter 532 and authorized by several provisions of NRS 533, 534, 535, and 536, is entirely discretionary in nature by the plain language of these statutes authorizing the AV process and the related NAC provisions. The state engineer has this discretion to likewise pause these AV proceedings based on related pending litigation. As I stated earlier, this is very similar to the provision of the water law that the legislature has explicitly provided authority to the state engineer under NRS 533-370 sub 3E, which was also the subject of this court's decision in the Roundhill decision. The state engineer did not turn a blind eye to Baker's allegations in this case. Rather, he looked eyes wide open at the issues and determined that there was a significant legal uncertainty at play here between Baker Ranches and the federal government. And at least some of what would be resolved through the litigation that Baker Ranches was already prosecuting against the federal government would be resolved here. Further, this was before the state engineer was even aware of the parallel decree court proceedings, which Baker initiated around the same time as the state engineer's letter holding AV 272 in abeyance. As this court is aware, and as we've discussed already by the party's supplemental authorities, the decree issue impacts many of Baker Ranch's arguments, as they asked the state engineer to enforce the decree against the National Park Service, but the U.S. District Court has now ruled that the National Park Service has sovereign immunity from the decree. Had the state engineer been aware of the decree litigation at the time he held the AV in abeyance, it would have been an independently sufficient basis to hold off on moving forward. There's also statutory authority, NRS 533-0245, that prohibits the state engineer from exercising his duties in a fashion that conflicts with a federal or state court order. While Baker Ranch has framed its harm as proven in this case, and the district court seemed to agree, it is important to note that the state engineer has found no such thing as of this date. The state engineer did site visits and took evidence and argument from both Baker and the National Park Service, but the state engineer has not at this point agreed with Baker's allegations or found that the National Park Service is committing violations of Nevada water law, let alone violations that are causing the harm that Baker Ranch alleges. On the other hand, Baker Ranch has conceived that their allegations stem from unknown persons placing things in the stream, not the Park Service diverting the water themselves. Likewise, Baker Ranch seems to equate the National Park Service's management decisions regarding the forest as intentional water diversions or other water actions. In the instances where Baker Ranch cites the record and says that its allegations are clear, Baker is citing to its own correspondence to the state engineer, ignoring that the National Park Service also provided correspondence contradicting Baker Ranch's allegations. Likewise, the correspondence in the record made clear, with references to the federal litigation that was the basis of the state engineer's abeyance. Ingress and egress from the National Park property is a key issue, both with the litigation in federal court and the correspondence in the state engineer's record on appeal. The district court found that even if the doc and district court faulted the state engineer for not having substantial evidence in the record regarding specific pleadings or motions in the record, but then the district court found that even if the documents were in the record or if it had taken judicial notice, the district court would have still found that the state engineer's decision was arbitrary and capricious, an abuse of discretion, and not supported by substantial evidence, incorrectly again referring to the AV process as a duty upon which the state engineer has no bearing. In the order denying the motion to dismiss, the district court went as far as implying that the state engineer could arrest someone in this case under NRS 533-475, an implication that the state engineer should consider arresting federal employees of the National Park Service. Given all the uncertainty of the underlying legal issues in this case currently being addressed in the courts in other cases and the discretionary nature of the AV process generally, the state engineer properly and reasonably exercised his discretion to hold AV 272 in abeyance pending resolution of those issues. This decision was supported by substantial evidence, and this court should reverse the district court. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Can I ask a question not going into his time? Just to clear something up for me, because this is bothersome. The Park Service was issued a permit in 2015, right, or for a non-consumptive inflow from Baker Creek for wildlife purposes, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And so was it a condition of that permit that the entire natural flow would be required to exit the park boundary undiverted? And if the whole allegation here is there's a diversion, whose responsibility is it to make sure that's not being diverted? It's a natural diversion by accumulation of rocks or somebody is in there placing it, whose responsibility is that? Was that a condition of their permit in 2015?
I believe it's the state engineer's obligation to make sure the permit terms are being followed on the permits that he issues. But that's part of the issue here, Your Honor, is that the state engineer has gone out there and it's not the national, from what the state engineer has seen so far and what's in the record, it's not specific actions that the National Park Service is taking to divert the water.
Right.
And it seems to be very variable by how much runoff is coming, who's gone into the park. It's a very unique situation involving the federal government and the National Park access in this case. Whereas usually when there's problems with a decree, the state engineer goes out there, does an on-the-ground assessment, works with the people to try and make sure that whatever illegal diversions are happening are taken down to fix the problem. But it's the state engineer's opinion in this case that the parties are far, the National Park Service and Baker Ranches are far past these on-the-ground, reasonable remedies being effective based on the other litigation that they have going on with each other.
All right.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Debbie Leonard on behalf of Baker Ranches. I want to make sure I clarify for the Court the three cases that are pending, because I'm hearing from the questions there may be some confusion, and it's very important, the distinctions between them. The first is a federal right-of-way case. It is the case that the state engineer used as after-the-fact justification for this holding the AV 272 in abeyance. There's nothing in the record or in the decision to indicate that that Baker Ranches actually requested access to federal property in the AV 272 case. That's actually not the case. If the Court would look at the requests that were made, they were requests for the state engineer to act. So I just want to make sure the Court understands that we are not asking the state engineer to give Baker Ranches the right to enter federal property. That's being addressed in the federal right-of-way case. It's a completely separate issue. The second case is a case filed by Baker Ranches against the Park Service in the decree court to enforce the terms of the decree. And we filed that a number of years ago already. It has gone up and down to federal, it got removed to federal court, it went up to the Ninth Circuit, it came back, it was in the decree court issued contempt. Issued a contempt order. The decree court determined that sovereign immunity had been waived, but then the federal district court reached a different decision. But that is a case that involves suing the federal government in state court to enforce the decree. This is a totally different proceeding in which we asked the state engineer, saying, look, we are not, the federal government, notwithstanding the long history of it, the federal government is not giving us access to federal property to clear obstructions. Therefore, state engineer, you need to enforce the terms of your own permits. There's two permits at issue. There's the in-stream flow permit 78780 that requires the entire flow to leave the park undiverted. The other permit is a permit that the Park Service has. It's a change of a decreed right. And the terms of that permit, a permit issued by the state engineer, state specifically that the terms of the Baker-Lamian decree must be complied with. So we're not asking for the state engineer to give us access to federal property. We're asking for the state engineer to do what is required under the law to do. And I just want to make sure the Court understands the distinction between those three cases. I want to give a little framework for this, because in enacting the water statutes in Nevada and establishing the office of the Nevada State Engineer, the legislature specifically mandated that the state engineer shall perform such duties as are or may be prescribed by law. And this court recognized in the Mineral County versus Lyon County case that the statutes place affirmative duties on the state engineer, and the mechanism to remedy this is an abuse, if he's abusing his office, is a petition for judicial review under NRS 533.450. So let me turn, I didn't hear any questions specifically about the jurisdictional issues, but I want to make sure that I discuss them, because the state engineer's argument runs afoul every basic tenet of statutory construction. Starting primarily with that the court must construe a statute according to its plain meaning. And here the legislature specifically said that there's a, that any order or decision of the state engineer that it relates to determined rights is reviewable. The legislature used the word any. The legislature specifically, there's nothing ambiguous about the word any.
But Ms. Leonard, how is that letter constitute a decision? It holding it in abeyance is not reaching the merits or making a decision there. How do you address that point?
It's a final decision as to the fact that the state engineer has said the three statutory obligations that we have identified, he does not need to implement. He does not need to exercise his statutory duties to protect vested rights, to protect senior rights, and to ensure non-impairment of vested rights. So he has already, just in so doing, said, it's not my responsibility. There's a federal judge who's going to decide some other issue, which wasn't specified in the decision. But he's made a final determination that, like Justice Perry-Gary was alluding to earlier, there's ongoing harm to Baker Ranches, alleged, and the record is full of pictures of the creek dry downstream of the park, of felled logs and into the creek to block the passage of water. There's plenty in the record to support the allegations, and the state engineer said, I'm not going to deal with those.
But the decision that we're challenging is the letter that says they're going to hold in abeyance pending conclusion of the litigation in Nevada federal court. Not the merits. I mean, that's the decision.
Right.
And is that the type of, I say non-decision because it's you're saying that's the type of final decision that's reviewable in that way?
I do not believe the legislature created a finality requirement. I think any means any. However, I feel like, as I just mentioned, that is a decision to not act, and that is a reviewable decision, I think, based on the plain language of the statute. And I want to point out that the legislature knows how to use the word final because they did it in the Nevada Administrative Procedures Act. And the state engineer points to that language, but I think it actually supports Baker Ranches because it underscores that the legislature knew how to use the word final, but it didn't. It used the word any instead. Also,
so what are the limits? Like, if we accept your position, and I think you're correct as far as the difference in the wording in the water rights statute versus the APA. But does that render every interlocutory ruling en route to a conclusion before the state engineer immediately reviewable under 533-450? Or are there some discretionary parameters on that?
Your Honor, I think the statute says what it says. With regard to any decision, and then it says relating to the administration of rights. So the state engineer, in my experience, doesn't issue interlocutory decisions regarding something like this where there's an ongoing investigation. I can't.
What about like continuing a hearing or deciding to take further evidence on a point?
Well, I think that at some point that it doesn't really relate to the administration of rights if you're continuing a hearing. I think that you really have to look at what is the relation to the rights. I think here we adequately supported that our rights are not being, we're not able to exercise our rights. Our water rights are not getting past the park boundary. So it clearly relates to the rights. So I think the type of procedural continuance of a hearing type of example, I think, is distinguishable. I want to also address the issue of, two other points of statutory construction. One is the court cannot add language to the statute. And this is, I think, an important separation of powers issue, that the legislature writes the laws and the court construe them. And the Howell v. Ritchie case, there's no basis for the court to add the word final. There's nothing in the statute to support it. And as we think the district court correctly identified, it was either dictum or overbroad, but it's not appropriately applied here to these facts. And the final point of statutory construction is that any doubt about the construction of a statute that regulates the right to appeal should be resolved in favor of the right to appeal. And again, even if there were a finality requirement, I think that the state engineer here, it's been 5.5 years since we filed the notice of alleged violation. There's been no action. And so it was during a prolonged drought. There were long periods of time where there was no decreed water leaving the park. I think we've adequately addressed that the state engineer made a final decision as to the issue that was presented. So let me turn to the merits.
You assert mandamus as a fallback in any event, correct?
Correct, we did. And the district court said, well, you have review under 450, and so you have a plain speedy adequate remedy under the law. So turning to the merits, because we think there are three non-delegable statutory duties that the state engineer cannot put off because of their importance and that they are, again, mandatory duties. The first is the non-impairment of vested rights. This is in 533.085. And this court said in the Anderson family case, the legislature enacted the statute to avoid any unconstitutional impingements on water rights that were in existence at the time Nevada's statutory water law went into effect. Reiterated that issue in Sullivan recently, where the court said because vested rights by definition exist prior to the grant of statutorily granted rights, all statutory rights are granted subject to vested rights, and no statutorily granted water right may impair vested water rights. The record is undisputed. Baker Ranches holds 1872 water rights. They've been put to beneficial use on Baker Ranches for 150 years. And the record shows that the water's being consumed within the park. So based on these facts, we think the state engineer must prevent impairment of vested rights. There's no role for a federal judge to prevent impairment of vested rights. That is the job of the state engineer. The second statute at issue is NRS 533.220, which requires the state engineer to administer the decree according to its terms. Let me read from the decree. This is really important. The decree prohibits the Park Service from at any time diverting or using or preventing or obstructing the flow and requires the Park Service to keep the mainstream channel through its land reasonably clean of weeds, vegetation, and deposits of silt, and in all other respects maintain said channels in a manner conducive to minimum loss of conveyed water by seepage, evaporation, and other causes. So the state engineer has a duty to distribute the water and enforce the terms of the decree, and a federal judge has no role in that process. Finally, the state engineer has an obligation under 533.430 to protect existing senior rights against a junior appropriator. Every permit that's issued in the state by the state engineer is subject to existing rights, it's subject to the decree, and it's subject to regulation and control by the state engineer. So we've talked about the Park Service non-consumptive in-stream flow right. That is not the role of a federal judge to enforce the terms of that permit. Just because the state engineer created a regulatory process, the AV process, to investigate alleged violations, it does not give the state engineer license to abandon his statutory duties. That's an example of the tail wagging the dog. The legislature determines what his duties are, and he needs to follow them. If he implements regulations for that process, the regulations cannot prevent or give him the ability to abandon his statutory duties. So
how does the I'm keep going back to the federal litigation and the Deb Holland case, finding that there was no waiver of sovereign immunity. How does that play into all of this?
Your Honor, I don't think it plays into this at all, because again, that was a case where Baker Ranches sued the federal government as a defendant. You must have a waiver of sovereign immunity in order to do that. We believe that there's a waiver under the McCarran Amendment. The federal district court has now disagreed, and we have appealed that to the Ninth Circuit. This is different, and this is really important because it goes to the state engineer's authority to issue his own permits and enforce the terms of those permits. The Park Service has availed itself of the state water law by applying for and receiving permits issued by the state engineer. The
correct,
state,
but if again, as part of that investigatory duty, the state engineers needs to access this park property, and if they resist or there's no opportunity for litigation if they don't waive their sovereign immunity. So where does that leave you in
I disagree, Your Honor, because the state engineer can say, look, here are the terms of my permit. Yeah. If you don't comply with those terms, I'm going to cancel your permit. The state engineer cancels the permit. It's up to the Park Service to then seek relief. And then it's not a defendant being sued in which you need to have a waiver of sovereign immunity. It would be a plaintiff. It would have to waive its own sovereign immunity to file suit to challenge the state engineer's decision. It's a very important distinction that the state engineer has completely blurred in this case here.
Ms. Leonard, is there anything in those other proceedings, those other matters that you're discussing, that could affect the outcome of this case, of this application that you've made?
Certainly if the Ninth Circuit finds that there is a waiver of sovereign immunity, we have the district court's ability to enforce its own decree. But if we lose that issue, that underscores precisely why the state engineer should exercise his powers under a permit he has granted. Because if he cancels these permits, it's up to the Park Service to seek relief. And I want to make sure the court understands the framework of the enabling legislation for this park. There is specific language in there that requires the Park Service to comply with Nevada water law. And so the Park Service had to apply for permits under Nevada water law, and it obtained those permits. It needs to comply with the terms of them. It can't have its cake and eat it too.
But if, in fact, it could, in some instance, affect the outcome, why doesn't 370 subsection 4 subsection E give them the authority to wait?
Can you repeat that, please?
If these other matters could affect the outcome, you know, you said it could affect it in some way, depending on...
But only in our favor.
Why doesn't 370 apply, though?
We're not in
your favor or not. If it can affect the outcome, why doesn't that give the state engineer the ability to wait and see?
Because this wasn't a water rights application filed. This 370 doesn't even apply to this proceeding. This is not an application. It's a existing permit, one permit that was issued, 50 years ago, another permit that was issued in 2015. There's no pending application. That's not in my opinion, not an applicable statute here. There are other remedies, by the way, that a state engineer could avail himself of. There, again, I spoke of canceling the permits. That's one way. Enforcing the decree that is allowed under and required under 533-220. There's also penalties, fines, the requirement to provide replacement water, the ability to request injunctive relief. This notion that the issue was a federal right-of-way is not accurate. Can I just have...
Finish your thought.
Thank you. So our position that if the state engineer would simply do his job, enforce the terms of these permits, make sure the water is unimpeded through the park, Baker Ranches would have no need to access federal lands in order to keep the water moving down the stream channel. The information that was provided to the state engineer showed that the roads within the park are diverting water out of the stream channel. So it's not that it's just happenstance that the water is leaving the stream channel. It's actual actions by the Park Service, building those roads, maintaining those roads. They're diverting water out of the stream channel. And we need the state engineer to exercise his statutory duties to ensure that Baker Ranches gets their vested water. So we request that the court affirm.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Leonard.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Just a couple points in rebuttal. Ms. Leonard mentioned other remedies available to the state engineer. Baker Ranches also has other remedies available, which are discussed in the U.S. District Court case finding that the federal government had sovereign immunity. This includes applying for a special use permit to access the park to do the work, which Baker Ranches has not done to this date. Another point, Baker Ranches called the state engineer's rationale after the fact justification. Baker Ranch's lawsuit against the federal government regarding the right-of-way was filed before they filed the alleged violation with the state engineer's office. And Baker Ranch's multiple times asked in the correspondence to the state engineer under unknown authority to order the national park to let Baker Ranch's enter the park property. That's the exact issue they're litigating in that other case. The after-acquired decreed rights aren't the basis of Baker's decree arguments. That's another reason why the U.S. District Court found that the federal government had sovereign immunity from the Baker-Layman decree. And that is a big issue here, is counsel for Baker Ranches suggests that if it's upheld that the federal government has sovereign immunity under the Baker-Layman decree, it becomes more of the state engineer's responsibility to enforce the Baker-Layman decree. That does not make sense, Your Honors. If the state engineer needs to enforce the Baker-Layman decree, he's going to end up back in court against the federal government again, and they're going to find.
Why? I don't understand. I guess that's going back to my point that the one permit was issued in 2015. It had conditions. Are you being prevented from going onto that national park property to do an investigation that would clear all of this up?
No, the state engineer has gone out there and started those investigations, but the correspondence doesn't back up what counsel for Baker Ranches has said to this point. The correspondence from the state engineer's office said he finds that water that leaves the bed and banks of the creek during high flow events isn't a violation. The allegations that Baker Ranches makes in this case have not been found to reach the level that they're alleging by the state engineer's office at this point. And the permit is a separate issue. The state engineer agrees he can enforce his permit terms. If he finds there a violation, he can cancel it. He hasn't had any issues dealing with the park. But as to the decree, I don't see how the state engineer can enforce the Baker-Layman decree against the federal government as things stand right now, when the U.S. District Court has found that the federal government has sovereign immunity from that decree. It's a confusing issue, but I feel like if the state engineer moves to enforce it, because he has provisions under the water law where he can
enforce it in what regard? You're talking about enforcing by way of litigation, but you've got other tools available to you to enforce that decree, don't you?
Technically, but it's going to end up back in litigation, Your Honor. If the state engineer seeks to enforce a decree that there's already a court case.
Well, that would put the Park Service in the position, if you seek to enforce that decree, and that would put the Park Service in the position of bringing litigation, which would require them to waive their sovereign immunity.
But the U.S. District Court has already found that the federal government hasn't waived sovereign immunity to that decree. So if, say that the state engineer goes through the administrative process, starts issuing decisions saying he thinks the federal government is violating that decree, they still don't listen to the state engineer, he has to go to district court under the water law, which it's allowed to do. He can seek injunctions from the decree court to enforce the decree. It's very likely the federal government is going to remove it to federal court again, and we're going to be right back in the same situation until it's all resolved from the Ninth Circuit.
So you can't make a determination that they're in violation of the conditions that were placed on their permit.
I'm not talking about the permit. The state engineer issued that permit. There's terms that he can enforce if he finds that violations are happening. The decree is a much more complex issue. May I just conclude very quickly, or I'll answer any other questions Your Honor has.
Justice Pickering, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Okay. Let's wrap it up real quick.
Yep, I'll wrap it up real quick. In summation, the decision in this case was not a final appealable decision, and Baker's petition should have been dismissed or denied on that basis alone. This court, as Baker Ranch's counsel said, the legislature knows how to use the word final, and I believe this court knows how to use the word final too, and it did when it was analyzing the judicial review statute in Howell v. Ritchie, which includes that appeals of decisions of the state engineer are in the nature of an appeal. Appeals require final decisions. Even if it was a final decision or finality is not required, the state engineer properly exercised his discretion based on substantial evidence in the record, which made clear that this other litigation existed to hold the AB in abeyance. Therefore, the state engineer's decision was not arbitrary or capricious. The state engineer respectfully requests that this court reverse the district court. Thank you.
All right, thank you.